Monday, April 2nd, 2018, Dr. Gemma Jones speaks with Jody Vance on 98.3 Roundhouse Radio in Vancouver.
Dr. Gemma Jones is with us. It's a real pleasure to have you in the studio. All the way from London?
Thank you. Yes, all the way from London, England.
Can you move that mic a little bit closer?
Sure, I can.
Yeah, there we go.
Is that better?
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, I just want you to be comfortable. Want to make sure that we can hear you. The Alzheimer's Cafe.
You want to know what it is?
Yeah.
It's not as simple as what it sounds. It's not just a cafe where you get together and have a cup of coffee or tea. The thinking behind it is that if you have a safe place where people can come and go, just like a normal cafe, you can use the safety and the feeling of togetherness there to talk about some of the important things to do with any kind of chronic illness, but in this case, it's any kind of dementing illness. And we use the name Alzheimer Cafe because all of the Alzheimer societies were called Alzheimer societies, not dementia societies years ago. And it's a place where we do education about dementia for the person with dementia, their family, their friends, professionals, volunteers, all together in the same room in the safety of a cafe-like atmosphere with music. And we address a certain set of themes every year. We meet once a month for that.
When did this start?
The first cafe opened up in 1997 in the Netherlands by my colleague, Dr. Bear Meesen. He was a clinical psychologist. And he started it to gain extra support for psychological education for people because the curriculum at that time in the Netherlands for clinical psychologists didn't include any information on how to support people with their emotional difficulties. And after begging for the curriculum to be reformed and getting nowhere fast, stubborn man that he is, he rented his own classroom at the University of Leiden, and he put up banners and he brought in urns of coffee and tea, and he said, anyone welcome, come to the Alzheimer Cafe, we're going to talk about it together. So what was so groundbreaking... What was so groundbreaking at that time was that it was the first intervention ever to say, let's not divide people into little groups. There were lots of support groups for family members of people with dementia. They were being supported particularly through Alzheimer's Society organizations. And there were groups for people who had dementia to be together to do activities or whatever. But there was no intervention yet that said, let's bring people together as soon as possible, right after diagnosis, to talk about the inside pain. And so at an Alzheimer cafe, we get to do that. And we even get to do things sometimes like having guilt competitions. Can you imagine?
I'm curious. I'm just thinking out loud that, you know, I've heard statistics that one in three people is touched by cancer. And so cancer is a huge part of our lives. What are the numbers for Alzheimer's or for dementia? Do you have any idea?
It's a hard thing to put a real number on.
Is it safe to say that we're all touched by it in one shape or form?
No. I've met taxi drivers and things, and they say they don't know anything about dementia. Okay. And some of them have even referred to it as old-timer's disease.
Yeah.
Because that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, that's
them.
What I've heard.
So no, I'm sure they've encountered it, but not known really what it was they were dealing with. Most people, I think, have been touched by it, but not
everybody. Yeah, it seems to be a prevalent discussion. And the idea that we could create a safe place or that you could create or have created safe places for people to go and discuss it, I think is a great start. So you're in Vancouver to give a workshop.
I'm going to do several workshops. I'm going to be teaching on just dementia itself for 2 days. I'll be doing a workshop for volunteers who are going to be working at the Alzheimer Cafe, for the organizers who are setting up. I'm going to do a 2-day workshop for family carers. And I've got...
My name is Don Schaefer, filling in for Jody Vance, and Dr. Gemma Jones is with us. She's visiting Vancouver to present a multi-day, multi-site series of workshops on Alzheimer's disease and dementia. She talks about her work, Alzheimer's disease, and why she created the first cafe in the UK. What makes you tick? Why did you get into this?
The whole field of work.
Yeah.
My grandfather had vascular dementia and some big strokes, and I didn't know at the time. I was so influenced by what happened to him. I was 8 years old. And by the time I went to university, all I wanted to know about is what can happen to the aging brain to some people. And there was no first-year course on what happens to the aging brain. There still isn't. I wish there were.
Yeah.
So I started studying biology and gerontology at the University of Western Ontario. I came here to Vancouver in 1981 to start my nursing degree, and then I went to London, England to do my doctorate in the neuropsychology of Alzheimer's disease, in actually neuropsychopharmacology, and I thought I'd be back to Vancouver a few years later. Guess what? It didn't happen. I got stuck over there. So being back here is like a homecoming. It's been a long time.
You brought some good weather with you.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful. And I hope I brought some new ideas with me again.
So that's interesting. What drives you? It's your grandfather.
That's what it started out with. Yeah. And now many, many other people too. But just really wanting to know, how do we support people in all stages of the illness? How do we conceive of the illness? And the Alzheimer Cafe really is the most difficult thing that anybody could have thought of, because it's trying to catch people as early as possible, and it's trying to say, please don't become isolated, don't become disconnected, don't hide away in the woodwork. And this journey, this dementia journey, with all its difficulties and all the things that we know of that we don't like thinking about, for some people can actually be a lot better than we think if the care is good and people don't feel that they're not wanted and not invited to participate at whatever level they can do so. And so to try and minimize the difficulties that happen when emotional isolation occurs, when people don't know that people have a dementing illness and that they're assuming that the behavior changes are deliberate and unhelpful and unkind, to prevent some of the damage that happens from that is really what the cafe is set up to do beautifully. And when people see that they're not alone, that they have comrades of sorts in this journey, that helps a lot too, because that counters the isolation. And then you have the situation where you can say, once we learn to talk about it together here at the cafe, in this environment, can you translate that into speaking to your neighbors, into shopkeepers, into other people in your life, so that it's just, this is the part of my life I'm living right now. And can you speak with me about it? Because I'm not so afraid to talk about it as I thought I was. And we often find that people say, the hardest place for me to talk about what's happening to me is in my families. I have no trouble when I go to have my hair done or when I go to the bank or the grocery store. So we want to break the taboo and the difficulties that people have in saying, this is what's happening to me. I didn't ask for it. I didn't want it. I didn't volunteer. But it's okay. If I'm well cared for and you still connect me and you help make me feel safe, this journey isn't the nightmare that it was painted to be by some people.
I guess I've got two questions. One is why is it so difficult to have this conversation? Why do we as a species find this conversation so challenging? And once you get to the conversation, what are the themes? What do you do in the cafes?
I think it's the same as cancer was 30 years ago. Any chronic illness that you have, that there's not a hopeful outlook for, in some way scares other people. What do they do with you? Mm. What do they say? Are they going to make you upset by talking about it? Do they ignore it? What do they do? So when other people are frightened and helpless.
But we don't know how to have difficult conversations.
No, human beings are, having to find their way through to doing that. And they do that when things reach crisis point often, if they aren't helped.
So when I come to the cafe, what do I find?
You're going to walk in the door, hopefully, and find people at a table who are saying, please, tell us your name. We're going to give you a name tag. Of course, that's a helpful thing at a cafe
where
people have memory difficulties. Hopefully, you'll have music on. Someone will offer you a nice place to sit at a table. Once the cafe has been established for a while, you'll be seated strategically at a table where there are old, experienced guests at the table who will be able to speak with you very nicely. The first cafe, obviously, is going to be completely new. You'll be offered coffees or teas or some kind of refreshments, and you'll be able to chatter. After you've chattered for a while and we've got you feeling safe there and comfortable, and you can walk around and look at the information table or some of the artwork children have done, then there'll be some kind of a treatment of the theme, and that'll be done either as an interview or as an interactive talk, or maybe as a video presentation, which will be discussed. And the themes that are covered every year at the Alzheimer Cafe, the topics are not random and they're not user-led very deliberately. They will be basically following the journey of a dementing illness. So the first theme will be, what is dementia? How does it get diagnosed? Second theme might be what happens to your memory, what happens to your attention, what happens to logical thinking ability. We still tend to think of dementing illnesses as being memory illnesses. And what we want people to understand is that so many, many more things are affected than just memory. Did you even think about the fact that if you cannot pay attention well, stuff can't get into memory to be forgotten? And part of my doctoral research was actually showing that you can pick up attentional errors in human beings with Alzheimer's disease even before you could spot some of the memory errors. But we don't think of that, so let's tell people about it. You know, it's not just difficulties with memory. And the other thing is memory isn't one thing. And so we want people to say very clearly, you can never lose all your memory. And when we talk about memory at the cafe, we're going to talk about memory for facts, memory for the emotional flavor of things, and sensory memory. And so you might have trouble with memory for facts, but you're not going to have trouble with the other stuff. So come here and learn about it, because this is where we're going to talk about it. And you're the star of the show. This is why we're doing it for you. We're going to go on to other themes, like what's the range of human emotions? And why is it that having illnesses that put you out of control take you through so many, many kinds of emotions? What do you go through when you don't have control of your fear and anger? We do a whole evening just on fear and anger, grieving and guilt, stress. How do you change your communication style? We ask people to consider the dementia journey as the opportunity to learn and to understand and speak four new languages. And then we say, what happens when human beings hit brick walls in life? Any kind of brick walls, and they are fun to define. Have you ever thought about your life in terms of brick walls?
Yep.
So you're here today, you're sitting here, you've survived.
There's real ones and there's
imaginary ones.
Yeah, there's ones we make up.
Yeah. So if you've gotten through all that and you're so smart that you can still survive and cope, and people could argue whether you're coping positively or negatively, yeah, that's a separate discussion.
Yeah.
What is it about you that couldn't get through a chronic illness, just like many, many other people have to do? And that's what we talk about at the cafe. And you see, those themes are intangible, but that's where a lot of our real pain comes from.
And they'd be fun discussions too.
They can be very poignant and very deep, and they can cause some tears, but boy, they can be funny. The funniest session we have each year is the one on grieving and guilt. Now, you think people would steer clear of it. That's the beauty of the cafe. You can read in advance what's going to be spoken of. And you say, oh, if I don't want to hear that topic, I'm not going to go. But that's the one people have enjoyed the most. And some people have said to us, you know, that talk last month really hurt. And I went away and I thought about it all month. But boy, I'm so glad I had a chance to talk about it or listen to someone speak about it. And the honesty is very nice. They're the nicest people I've met in my whole life are sitting there at that cafe with their vulnerability and their desire to care and their inclusion of everything that can possibly happen. We're safe in this ship together.
What's the best learning for you in this? What have you taken away from it?
I've had a lot of reinforcement in my belief of human beings as wonderful creatures. And out in the street, I sometimes don't get that. But at the cafe, it's one of the happiest places for me to be in the whole world. Supporting human beings.
Where are there cafes in Canada?
There's a cafe in St. John, New Brunswick right now. Yeah. The first one was started in Antigonish in Nova Scotia. To my knowledge, that one's not running anymore. And this is going to be then the third one. There are cafes that have been started in 12 countries in the world. So a lot have been started in Ireland in the last few years. And we have 7 on the Isle of Wight in England. We have the first cafe in the world for people with early onset dementias. We have 25 people coming, and we hold that cafe every 2 weeks. The need for support is so great that we hold that one more often than other kinds of cafes. And in the Netherlands, where the cafe is started, they have 205 at the moment, and they have some very specialist cafes for reaching into communities with particular ethnic groups who are hard to reach and still have the need to have their cafes in their own language.
Did you help start all these?
Nope, I didn't. My colleague started all the ones in the Netherlands. Okay. I helped start ones in the UK and in Ireland, and I went to Romania and Canada.
Yeah, I just sense you've got your hand in there somewhere.
I did. I did.
I'm curious, what happens in Vancouver? What are the workshops? How do people find out about the workshops?
Go to the CARI website. Everything has been prepared there. Very easy to see what the events are going to be. And I believe there's still time to register for every event except the one starting tomorrow morning, the one on celebrating spirituality.
Yeah, let's talk about that. How does that work? I mean, explain.
How long have I got? Come on, Don, help me here.
You got a few minutes.
I got a few minutes.
Yeah. I mean, connect spirituality and Alzheimer's or dementia.
Well, I'm just going to connect spirituality to all human beings.
Okay.
And then say, I'm going to speak in the largest possible terms that whether people have a traditional approach to faith or not, I conceive of people as spiritual creatures who have thoughts about what's the purpose of life and is there any purpose to my suffering and what is my connectedness to everybody else on this planet and is there anything after our life here and is there anything that's going to make us feel like there's a bigger picture here. And so if you get to consider those thoughts from whatever viewpoint, you get to celebrate some sense of your belief in life and what you want to do with the energy you have to live. And so people who are ill and getting older maybe have a bigger need than anybody else to reflect on those things because their physical end is approaching. And what I like people to think about is how do you stay present with people in all stages of a dementing illness to let them feel that sense of life and energy that they have. And you make adaptations depending on the changes that they experience in their memory, but particularly in their experience of the visual perceptual range that they have. So I'll be speaking about ways of being with people, whether you have, you know, a formal ritual or service that you're doing, or whether you're singing, or whether you light a candle together to reflect on something, or whether you examine some stones from the beach and some pine cones and some shells and to say, do you remember playing with these? Do you remember thinking about how big the world was? Do you remember wondering where you were in it and letting people speak about their reflections on that? So you get to take a person outside of themselves to be who they are in a bigger picture, hopefully.
Great and very important conversations.
Yeah, the best.
Yeah, I was kind of going little Buddhism there, a little Christianity, but then you
it's
just
everything. It's
you
everything.
Went wider and wider. So yeah, very cool. So how do we find out more about you? We go online.
Yeah, and you can go to the Wide Spectrum website. You can go to the Alzheimer Cafe UK website. And I brought some books along with me. I'm sure that the Carrie will have some books there too.
Is there something I should have asked you that I didn't?
Yes, but not on air.
All right. I really want to thank you for coming by. I admire your work and your courage and your spirit.
Thank you for asking me. I'm delighted.
98.3 Vancouver, our city, your voice.